This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is it going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Start it up. That's your Friday. That's your Memorial Day weekend right here on B&E. We'll get you there. Live and local. Appreciate you joining us this morning and every morning. Tell a friend. Spread the word. We're either 98 or 99 days to the start of the Longhorn football season. We do know we're about a week away from the Horns returning to campus after their month off and starting their summer workouts to get ready for what looks to be a promising 2023 football season. Longhorn baseball season looked really promising going into the week. Didn't look so great in Arlington. Longhorns, the top seed in Arlington, first team sent packing. And somebody texted and said, "We gave up the blitz for that. Come on, Coach Pierce, do better." That's true.
Sorry about that,
y'all.
Yeah,
we were off the air by 8:40 yesterday getting ready for Longhorn baseball. And wasn't a lot to cheer about for the Longhorns over the course of the next 3 hours, but we will have a Friday blitz. You know, we'll give them a little longer blitz today at the end of the 8 o'clock hour, Buck.
They got to have it going into
the Horns
to the holiday.
Took it from them and didn't have it yesterday. So, yeah, got to have that into Memorial Day weekend. And as we say, you know, it is Memorial Day, but it is an important day as well. It's an extra day off and it really launches summer, but let's honor and mourn the fallen, those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, given their lives, or a family member giving their lives in defense of our country, in service to our country, in any of the United States Armed Forces. And that is what Monday is all about, and we certainly, you know, appreciate it. Seems light. It is hugely appreciated and remembered and mourned for sure on Memorial Day on Monday. But Friday we'll have some fun getting you into it. Talking football, of course. Talking a little Pat Mahomes last hour, and the basketball. Should the Heat be concerned becomes a question as Boston has gone back-to-back. Let's get you the headlines. Headlines include a lot of staving off elimination and elimination. That's the headline. UBO Business Services brings it to you. Yeah, elimination and not being eliminated. Longhorns first team out at the Big 12 tournament yesterday morning, losing back-to-back games to Kansas and Kansas State. Horns lost 6-0 yesterday at Globe Life Field. They're now 0 for their last six games in that arena, in that building, after scoring 29 runs in their three-game sweep of West Virginia last weekend. Texas bats quiet in Arlington. Longhorns recorded only two hits yesterday, stranded nine runners, went 0 for 13 with runners on base. In addition to coming home early, and a rash of injuries for the Horns have cropped up. First baseman Jared Thomas tweaked his back on a swing in game one of that tournament. He dealt with it yesterday. Third baseman Peyton Powell has a rib cage issue. He didn't start at third base yesterday. He DH instead. Also, relief pitcher Heston Toll didn't travel with the team to Arlington because of an injury. And in the seventh inning yesterday, the left-handed pitcher David Shaw left the game with an apparent elbow problem. The two-and-out performance this week almost certainly ensures the Longhorns will travel for their regional round of the NCAA tournament. The full field of 64 in brackets will be announced on Monday. Other finals and scores from the Big 12 tournament yesterday: second-seeded Oklahoma eliminated West Virginia with a 3-2 win. Texas Tech, meanwhile, and TCU improved to 2-0 with victories. The Red Raiders' win came in dramatic fashion. They rallied for three runs in the ninth inning to walk off Oklahoma 10-9. No drama for the Horned Frogs. They posted their second straight run rule win at Globe Life. They pummeled Kansas 14-4 in eight innings. So the two games on the schedule today will both be in-state rivalry elimination games. Kansas and Kansas State will play at 3 o'clock. Oklahoma and Oklahoma State will play for the fifth time in a week in the night game this evening. A couple of other scores from outside the Big 12. Texas State stayed alive at the Sun Belt Conference tournament. Extra inning wins over Georgia State. 6-5 final. They're going to meet the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana tonight. SEC tournament, Texas A&M blank South Carolina 5-0 yesterday. They're going to face LSU this afternoon. NBA playoffs, Boston Celtics improved to 4-0 in elimination games in this playoffs with a win last night. They beat the Heat 110-97, wire-to-wire victory. Derek White, the former Spur, he scored 24 points, hit six threes. Marcus Smart had 23 points and five steals. Game six back in Miami on Saturday night. Miami still leads that series 3-2. In hockey, Dallas Stars avoided elimination from the Stanley Cup playoffs last night with a 3-2 overtime win over Vegas. Joe Pavelski scored the game winner in the first overtime. Major League Baseball, Rangers and Astros both off yesterday. They're going to both open up road series this weekend. Rangers are in Baltimore. Houston is in Oakland for the weekend. Round Rock clobbered Albuquerque 18-6 last night. In golf, Harry Hall is your first-round leader at the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial Country Club on the PGA Tour. Fired an 8-under round of 62 yesterday, three strokes better than Harris English, who shot 65. Former TCU Horned Frog Tom Hoagie is in a group at 4-under, 4-back. Brutal day for the PGA Championship hero Michael Block, the teaching pro from California who took the golf world by storm in Rochester and earned a sponsor's exemption into this tournament. It's sitting in dead last place after round one, shot an 81 yesterday.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right. Sorry about that, Michael Block. You did have a wonderful week last week, though.
I do like that he played the ball off the cart path bridge.
Oh, I do, too.
Yeah, he hit his tee. He was struggling off the tee yesterday, mightily. Everything was, you know, slicing off to the right.
It just shows how impressive it was, his performance through 4 days at the PGA Championship. I mean, that's...
Yeah, he was locked in.
It's crazy.
Well, look, I think that sport, baseball, all sports, if you're not locked in mentally, it'll eat you alive, and that's...
Or if you're not used to being locked in on a week-to-week basis like he's not. I mean, that guy's teaching. He's out there in the range hitting balls with people. He's not playing against Rory. And
my girlfriend was talking to me earlier this week, and she was like, oh, because she saw the social media posts about him. And she's like, oh, he's my favorite golfer now. Like, we should go somewhere and watch him this weekend. And I was like, he might not be there this weekend. I don't know
if
you know how that works.
Things, but if you get the call from the people running the Colonial, and they want to invite you, you can't turn it down, but it's almost one of those you probably should have said, you know what, I'm already playing in Canada, or in the Canadian Open a week later.
I need a week away from this
man. But, and again, that's, if you're not complete, I mean, that's what he was. He was locked in for the PGA Championship. As a PGA pro, he had qualified. You know, there are, 29,000 PGA teaching pros in this country. 29,000, he's one of them. He was one of 20 to qualify for that event.
This is not his routine on a week-in-a-week basis.
Yeah, he knew and studied that course. He understood, you know, how to attack it. This one came at him quick, and, he was, I won't say it should have been expected, but not surprising that he went out and, 81 he probably wasn't expecting, but I don't think anybody should have been expecting him to be in competing for the win here.
Yeah, I mean, don't think that all these tournaments he plays in now that he'll be in contention now.
Look, we see the best players in the world shoot high numbers sometimes. It just happens. And as you said, routines,
not being locked in.
Longhorn Baseball found that out yesterday. I think the Miami Heat are finding it out right now that they're up 3-0. They're comfortable. That it had come pretty easy against the Celtics. And the Celtics have ramped up their defense, started hitting some three-pointers. And the Heat defense has lapsed, and they're not as mentally locked in as they had been. And now we have a series headed back to South Beach, 3-2. Still plenty of opportunity for the Heat to win this thing, but you know, it just goes to show the level at which you have to be locked in. You know, David Pierce told us on our conversation on Tuesday, before they headed up to Arlington, that I asked him what the weekend was all about with West Virginia. Why did everything seem to go so well? And he said we were mentally locked in. I mean, they played with a chip on their shoulder. For the first time all year, our pitching and our hitting and our defense all played as one, and everybody was taking great at-bats up and down the order. The pitching staff was locked in. And
you're
dominated.
Playing for a championship. That's what it's all about right there.
Yeah. But the quote there, the statement that David Pierce made that resonates this morning is that they set a new standard. They set a new bar with the weekend at West Virginia. Well, they didn't reach that bar this week, clearly. Mentally, chip on the shoulder, being locked in.
You know you're going somewhere. Your season is continuing no matter what happens.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's part of it, right? Kansas State know as soon as they lose two games in those tournaments, they're out. And so they're playing for their season. Longhorns, did they get comfortable? I mean, I'm sure that would be unfortunate for David Pierce. Guys, we just saw what it takes to do it. Where we have to be mentally, where we have to be with this as a team to be our best, and we certainly weren't for 2 days in Arlington.
And no matter where we go from this point on, we'll have to be at our best. We can't.
Yeah, you're not going to have the home crowd.
No, oh no,
the home cooking.
You blew that part of it.
Yeah, you. And to me, that's the most surprising part of their performance there, because there was a lot to play for.
Oh, absolutely.
Baseball can get you too, just like golf. But they just didn't look like a team that took much energy into those games. I mean, Lucas Gordon struggled, then LeBaron Johnson was not himself, and that's a 9 o'clock in the morning game. But Kansas State's playing at 9 a.m. too, and their pitcher pitched great. So it's like, where did that chip on the shoulder go? Where did that urgency that you were playing with the week previous go?
No, that whole human nature thing can't come into play when you, even though you know you're going to still continue to play no matter what. That's got to be the part
in
Texas sports that you can't have.
That's right.
You can't get to the fourth quarter and say, you know what, we'll be playing again next week, we'll have a nice record. It's about now. It's about today. It's about this time. And that's what they didn't get over the last couple of days. They didn't get it's about now. They weren't in the now.
And that's surprising because, again, talking to Coach Pierce, they were so excited about the opportunity to go up and try to play them their way into hosting a regional. They were right on the cusp, leaving for Arlington.
And when you don't have your full complement and guys are banged up, I mean you're playing against teams that are playing for an awful lot too. You got to gut that out. I mean, rib injuries, things like that. I mean, that stuff, that's not what has been happening with them. They've been pretty healthy and getting things done, and all of a sudden that happens. You got to be able to fight through that. They just didn't fight through it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody's a little bit banged up at this time of year, but yes, the injuries coming at an inopportune time.
Right.
And they did gut it out outside of David Shaw. He tried until he had to come out of the game with the bases loaded and a 3-0 count, and Charlie Hurley came in and gave up a couple more runs, but either way, not a good performance.
No.
Surprising out of the blue, I think. I expected the Longhorns to pick up where they left off this past weekend, and the opposite happened. Because, look, it wasn't just this weekend against West Virginia. The Longhorns, since their series in late April with Oklahoma, had been playing really good baseball. They won a series in Fort Worth. They won the series at Kansas. They won the series with San Jose State. Now, they dropped a game in each one of those, but they won the series. And then they sweep West Virginia to put themselves on the cusp of that opportunity to be a top 16 team, and let it go with this performance here. And again, it was kind of feeble at best with, the three runs in game one. Two of them came on Jack O'Dowd solo homers.
He had a nice little couple of days, but my God, only two hits yesterday?
Only two, and one of them was an infield single. I mean, and you give K-State credit, they're facing elimination here. They know that. Their season would be over if they lost yesterday, and they put a guy with almost a 6 ERA on the mound yesterday, and he shut the Longhorns down. And the Longhorns knew if they get to the back end of that game trailing that K-State's got one of the best closers in the country, and that's what they ran into. And it was a 2-0 game into the seventh inning, and that's when David Shaw came in and clearly wasn't right and ended up loading the bases, and that's when they scored four more runs in that inning when Charlie Hurley came in. Let's dive into your coach's corner. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations. That's Tom McKay and his great crew there at avconsultations.com.
Audiovisual Consultations and Tom McKay, the really smart guys who never make you feel stupid.
Offensive collapse for the Longhorns, and just not too. Again, that's the 8 seed and the 5 seed. It wasn't like you're getting beat by, the top teams in the Big 12. But we know the Big 12 has been pretty even all year, and that goes to the mental focus and being locked in as a team. Just didn't feel like they were up there in Arlington. Somebody said they don't play well at Globe Life. That's true too. They played into the championship game at the Big 12 tournament last year and lost. But if you count their three games to start the regular season and these two and the end of last year, they're 0 for their last six in the Ranger ballpark there. And yes, playing.
Well, if they wanted to play home, they had to win the games.
Yeah, and that to say they had a lot to play for.
Yes,
and they didn't play very well. But if you're looking for silver linings, their season isn't over.
That's right.
They now have an extra couple extra days now and a week off, essentially, to get healthy and find out where they're going to be. Get re-mentally locked in. It'll be like Michael Block today, Buck. When he doesn't make the cut and isn't being celebrated, he'll get to have a week to get ready for the Canadian
Open. That's right.
The following week.
Got to bring your own energy.
Yeah. And, 9 in the morning, empty ballpark, all that. I expected a lot more from Texas in those games, and I think they probably did too. But you can't play with expectation. You got to just do it and
that's right.
Play with that urgency that it's going to take. We'll find out where the Longhorns go. I keep seeing a lot of projections of them going out to Stanford, to the Palo Alto regional. If you're a Longhorn fan, your best case would be to go up to Dallas Baptist and DBU would host, and you'd be in the state and still could have, you know, some home crowd
True.
Type of thing there. But there's a lot of thought that Texas will be sent out, you know, to the West maybe, and Stanford would be a likely spot. Or I saw, you know, going into the SEC potentially, you know, because Longhorns are going to be an SEC team pretty shortly here, that maybe they get matched up into one of those SEC regionals. But obviously we'll know. We'll know who the 16 host teams are on Sunday. Those will be announced by the NCAA Sunday, and then we'll know the full field. So, and that, you know, Longhorn fans shouldn't expect to hear the Longhorns called in those 16 or announced in those 16, and then the Horns will find out where they go. Everybody will find out on Monday morning from the NCAA.
No host teams from the Big 12?
I don't think so. I don't think at this point.
What about if it runs through Lubbock?
I would think that they would want to reward, but, you know, TCU is the team that is rolling right now.
TCU's right.
Played great at the end of the year, and Kirk Sarlos' team has run ruled their first two opponents in Arlington, 16 runs against K-State. I mean, think about Texas. They scored 3 total runs against Kansas and Kansas State. TCU in 2 games against those same teams scored 30. They scored 16 and 14 and run ruled them.
Man.
And they're the team that's locked in right now. Texas Tech rallied yesterday to beat Oklahoma with 3 runs in the ninth inning, so they're 2-0. Those teams will have today off and wait for a couple of elimination games today. And, you know, looks like they're on a collision course potentially to play in the championship game on Sunday. And, yes, I you know, if I don't think if TCU were to win the whole thing that would change anything as far as hosting. But, you know, going into it, the 3 teams that were thinking we could play for it and to host and be a top 16 would be Texas, West Virginia, and Oklahoma State. West Virginia and Texas are already out. Those were the first 2 teams eliminated. And Oklahoma State will play for their, you know, for the tournament today against Oklahoma. Or tonight. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, it doesn't look like the Big 12 will have a top 16. West Virginia, certainly not.
After, no.
I mean, they're 0 for their last 5 games now. Swept by Texas, 0-2 in the Big 12. Randy Mazey's team will not host. Texas will not host. And Oklahoma State, I guess, would be if Oklahoma State were going to win the whole thing, which they've got to play through the loser's bracket, I guess they could. But their pitching staff's not in good enough shape, I don't think, to do that. Because remember, if they win today, then they've got to go beat what side of the bracket they're on. They're going to have to go play and beat Texas Tech twice to get into the championship game against likely TCU, looking like TCU, on Sunday. So that's where the Big 12 tournament stands. They'll play through the weekend. The Longhorns will not be a part of it after what they did yesterday. Boston Celtics, should the Heat be worried? I mean, the Heat are an 8 seed at the end of the day. I mean, there are some making an argument that they were, you know, they've been playing on riding this wave, and maybe the Celtics have been given new life, and the Heat are now the team playing with the pressure. Jimmy Butler guaranteed the win. They're going to win it.
Well, they had better win. They better not go back to Boston.
How about that would be quite the storyline. We come in here because that game. We'll know by the time we come back because we're off Monday from the show. Game 6 is Saturday night. Game 7 would be Monday in Boston. But look, what's the difference in the series? Defense, right? I mean, the Celtics have ratcheted up their defense, and the Heat's defense has slid. And
the role players the stars from the Celtics are all playing now.
Yeah.
The role players, yeah.
Well, and look, the defensive intensity leads to, you know, easy buckets. That's the other part. You know that in the two losses, Miami's had 31 turnovers because the defense has stepped up for the Celtics, and they're forcing the turnovers, which are creating transition baskets. And
I mean,
also,
Derek White was just making jumpers last night. I mean, he was, whether they were difficult or not, he was making his 3-pointers.
Well, the bumper sticker on the 2 games is Boston is playing D and they're hitting threes.
Yes.
That's the 2 things that have changed. They're making it tougher on the defensive
Marcus
end
Smart.
On the Heat, and they've shot over 40% in both games from 3-point land. And, you know, 3 and D. If you do those things with those players, you're going to have a chance, but they'll be on South Beach tomorrow night.
I mean, Horford is the only guy, Ty, when I look at it, that's not doing.
He made a couple threes last night.
That's yeah, I mean, Marcus Smart is shooting a bunch of threes, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of their game. Play great defense, and then because they don't have an interior player, right? I mean, they've got slashers like Jason Tatum that goes to the rim.
Robert Williams isn't going to give you much on the offense.
Yeah, they're not an interior team. They're going to make threes. They play great defense.
Well, now Horford's knocking them down.
The roster itself, the sum of its parts is greater than most with 2 top, you know, 10 kind of players, and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and then the Marcus Smarts and the Brogdons, and a guy like Derek White steps up and scores 24 points six three-pointers. That's going to help you, and we'll see.
Him and Jason Tatum had more points in the Heat in the first quarter.
Yeah, when there was a blowout from the jump last night.
They played well throughout.
I felt instant regret after the first bucket of a betting Heat money line last night. So I did lose money.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Heat money line.
But it was. I didn't lose enough to even qualify in my mind of like actually losing. So.
Hey, listen.
I think this could be the first time we see it.
Well,
it's
listen.
Only two games
now. If they win, obviously the conventional wisdom will be Heat win game six at home. But if they don't, and if the Celtics have found some mojo and found some answers
in
for the
seventh
Heat,
game there,
as we said in three game in best of seven series, teams are 0-150.
That'd be awesome.
Coming
for
four straight, 0-150.
Only happen with the damn Celtics.
To go to Miami and win, and then bring it to Game Seven, then Miami, Jimmy Butler,
crushes their dreams.
If that was a close game at the end of the game, and the Celtics ended up losing, that would hurt probably more than any other
give
playoff
me
series.
The fact that it's 0-150 would tell you that it's probably not going to happen.
It's got to happen eventually.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't have to happen. Oh, for
could.
1,000. It doesn't have to.
In each of the 0-150, it could have happened, but it didn't.
No, Ty, so it doesn't
still
have
unlikely.
To happen. It
can Same time,
never
if it
happen.
Did,
has
it
ever
become...
gotten to 7, like after being down 3-0?
I don't have that stat
if anybody knows
me,
that, I'd like to know that.
But, the team that's smiling about the whole thing is Denver, because Denver's just sitting back, chilling, getting ready for
resting up
and getting everybody healthy as they can be. And
Rest versus rust, though. Is resting a good thing right now?
Well, it has to be seen as an advantage at this point. And if you're Michael Malone in Denver, you're just keeping your guys locked in. But at the same time, you're not playing competitive basketball.
The Joker's probably saying, I can use all the rest. I can't lug in this 285 pounds up and down that court. Yeah, I need a little rest. Nothing like another day.
I love Nikola Jokic.
Another day at the spa.
Look at Nikola Jokic doing it for the chubby kids. All the chubby kids out there who battled their weight when they were growing up and now – getting the last laugh.
And getting a couple extra days.
Get a couple extra days. No, he's the best player in the game. That's just an awesome thing. But, all right, that series is there. The Dallas Stars are still alive. The Texas Longhorns are coming home, or probably already home by now. We'll talk some more baseball. Somebody said lack of focus seems to be an issue with David Pierce teams. Well, we'll talk to Coach Pierce about that next week when we get a chance to speak to him. But when we talked to him on Tuesday, I would imagine he's pretty surprised by what his team put out there for 2 days in Arlington. He felt like they had found the new bar. They had understood. Because once you do it, right, you can say it all you want, putting it all together, playing with that chip on the shoulder, playing with that mental focus pitch by pitch. We've done it. Now we know we can do it. Now let's keep doing it. And the opposite happened. They went out and played. These were not good pitchers that Kansas and Kansas State were throwing at them. Look at the team ERAs in the I don't know, it's an individual guy that you're facing. But these were not – you're not facing –
it's not the time to be distracted by anything.
Maddox and Smoltz.
Can't be distracted.
And they just didn't – they didn't bring that edge, and they didn't bring that energy. And now they're going to travel come next weekend. We'll come back, start looking at some projections and where the Longhorns could be going, have a look at some other interesting stories as we head into your Memorial Day weekend. Ty will have the Hot or Not topics before the end of the hour. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Yeah, someone reminded us that not basketball, but a team from Boston has come back from 3-0 down in a series. 3-0 down in a series. Might have been the Red Sox against your Yankees. That's happened.
It can happen.
Somebody also pointed out that Rod Babers said that of the 150 teams that went up 3-0 that have gone on to win the series, and he said only three times has a team taken it to Game 7 in the NBA. So if the Celtics even force a Game 7, that would be a big flip. But, I think what we want to see in this series is both teams playing A-level basketball, because I don't think we've seen that yet in this series. The Celtics were pretty dreadful. I guess Game 2 was the closest to it, and then it all flipped in the fourth quarter in Boston. Boston played pretty good. Both teams played good for three quarters, then it was all Heat in the fourth. Game 3 on South Beach was just
Coach Mazzulla needs that game. He needs to get to Game 7.
Would you rather have your team get swept, like brutally swept in the playoffs, or have a Game 7 buzzer-beater loss?
The latter. the latter.
Yeah.
Buzzer beater loss, just less, not, well, let getting me see. Swept like that.
I'm going to think of my favorite team are the Houston Astros. I watched them get swept by the Chicago White Sox in a World Series, which was dreadful. Like, four in a row was terrible. And I've also seen them lose where they had two chances to beat the Washington Nationals to win a World Series, and they couldn't. And they had Justin Verlander and was it Gerrit Cole to win it, and they couldn't. So I'm trying to think which one was worse. You know, that, you know, they both suck, I guess, would be. Because if you're an Astros fan and you remember, you came back to Minute Maid Park up 3-2, and all you had to do was win one game to win another World Series, and you couldn't close it out with your two aces on the mound. That was tough. But then, yes, in 2004, they got swept by the White Sox in four straight games.
It would be like
the Roger Clemens teams.
It would be have to be like a walk-off home, like grand slam to lose in Game 7.
I don't feel good about losing. I don't feel good. I don't like the losing in the grand slam.
Losing's losing.
It's just losing. It's just
it's the same over time.
It's the same. I mean, you go ahead and sweep me. Go ahead and sweep me. I don't want to lose in Game 7.
But in your mind, like, if you're
a
fan of a team.
Yeah, I guess as I'm thinking about this, the White Sox series was more palatable than the Nationals.
Yeah, because you probably forgot. That's, you know, you forget about that.
Because there was a point of the Washington series strongly that I thought they were going to win the World Series.
I don't like buzzer beater losses. I don't like
because that's something that
last
you'll
play
remember
of the game
your whole
losses.
Life.
Yeah,
like, I'll remember Nelson Cruz and Natale Feliz
for sure
for my entire life. I wouldn't. I probably wouldn't remember as much of that series if they would have gotten
Berkman.
Swept.
Lance Berkman,
David Freese.
David Freese.
There's a lot of memories.
Oh, a lot of heroes in that and heroes and zeros. But yes, Astros too. And if the Astros had gotten one of those wins, they'd have three World Series now here in the last 5 years, 6 years, and. That
poor
prevented
Astros.
That.
Well, poor Astros.
You asked the question. I know. That's my answer.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most. File a claim right on the State Farm mobile app and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This is the 2019 World Series, the only series where a home team didn't win a game. That is true. So bizarre. Astros lost. I mean, amid all of the cheating stuff, they didn't win a single game at Minute Maid Park. They won all three in Washington. And then that still defies logic that they came home with Verlander and Cole and, you know, couldn't get it done. Couldn't finish it off. I think that's how it was played out 5 years ago now. Hey, by the way, you know it was 30 years ago this day? A great memory. One of the all-time sports bloopers. Where do we rank this on all-time sports bloopers? But 30 years ago this day, and today is May the 26th, Jose Canseco, a then outfielder for the Texas Rangers, was running onto the warning track to catch a pop-out, a fly ball, and it doinked off of his head and went over the fence for a home run.
Oh, man. Right off that noggin.
This happened before Ty was born, but 1993, the ball that bounced off his head for a home run. Where was that? Cleveland? I'm trying to think where that game was being played. It was a road game for the Rangers, but an awkward-looking Jose Canseco going back for the ball, took his eye off of it and because he wanted to catch the fence.
Can of corn.
Right off of his noggin for a home run. Where does that rank on all-time?
All-time bloopers, period. That ranks right
that's
up there
pretty
with high. We Too Low. Are you kidding me?
You say We Too Low? That's an all-time news
yes,
gaffe.
Absolutely. This ranks right there.
I mean, I think of Randy Johnson when he hit that poor bird. Like that bird just exploded coming across 60 feet, 6 inches. Canseco with the head off, you know, Bill Buckner's miss. I mean, that was the most critical.
What's his name? Crapping in his pants.
Paul Pierce?
Yeah.
They won that game, though. Came back. Cleaned it up, came back.
Darren Oliver mentioned by a Longhorn fan in Denton. See that? Ranger fans don't need that. They don't need that. Somebody said, Hogan, Gerrit Cole pitched game 5. It was Verlander and Greinke. That's right. Verlander, Greinke coming home. And A.J. Hinch was criticized for not using Gerrit Cole at the end of game 7 when they had a lead and gave up the home run. But, yes, who was the pitcher that gave up that home run? Will. Can't think of his first name. Or what last name. All right, so we'll take that thought on a Friday where Jose Canseco's off-his-dome home run ranks on the all-time sports bloopers. Also talk some NBA with the Celtics trying to make it a series. And, you know, the mental side of sports, I think, is a big conversation this morning. The mental side of the game. in any sport was on display with Michael Block in golf, right? I mean, you know, one of the things about people talking about Texas and being looking like they lacked focus going into their games with Kansas and Kansas State. You know, how about this, Buck? When you play golf and when you were in your prime, and I know this is true for me, and I think it's for most golfers, the worst rounds you play are typically when you go in confident, like you feel like, man, I got this. You know, you come off of a round where you play really good, and you get to the range, and you're on the range, and everything is just, you're striking it and striping it, and you're just like, oh, man, this is going to be a great day. I can tell you, that's typically when I play worst, my worst. My best rounds come when I don't feel good, and maybe I had a terrible round the round before, and that's just such an interesting, you know, dynamic of sports is the mental side of it, the human nature of it. It's played by human beings, so you can get a Michael Block who takes the world by storm for 4 days over one weekend, and then yesterday goes out and shoots 81. I mean, just and the Longhorns look like the best team in college baseball for 3 days last weekend, and now they lose to the 8 seed and the 5 seed and score 3 runs in 2 games. There's a huge mental component. You know that, and we know that, but it's on display here. The Heat, who look unbeatable for 3 games, and all of a sudden they look very beatable and vulnerable with games where maybe they're not mentally locked in.
Well, I mean, whether it's professional, college, high school, that's where you have to have your leaders of your team and guys that are mature enough to understand how important, you know, the situation is. Some guys will they'll understand it's an important game, or think of it as just another game. If you've got a 3-1 lead or a 3-0 lead, you start to just kind of, you know, oh, everything's okay. I mean, that's the Heat. Everything's fine. Oh, we're good. We're good. We're up 3-0. This has never happened before. And now all of a sudden, they go back and they're like, oh, man. Talking about a team that's gripping.
And I would say the team you would have said wasn't going to do that would be the Heat. They're just, the culture's so good. They're, you know, they're just so tenacious as a team. But at the same time, in that series, the Celtics are the more talented team. Like player for player, right, roster to roster. And that's why Joe Mazzulla was being criticized so heavily after the first 3 losses. Wait a second. You mean if you were picking teams in the playground, you pick mostly Celtics here outside of Jimmy Butler. What are we doing? We're getting outplayed. And they've brought the energy, which means, and this is to Ty's point, that maybe they could be the first in 150 because they are the more talented roster. And if they play their best should be better than the Heat's best. Can they do it 2 more times? It's also what's impressive about the Nuggets, right? It's also impressive about the Nuggets winning, and, you know, they could have sloughed off a little bit against the Lakers. They went ahead and closed that thing out.
Right.
Said, you know what? We're just going to end this deal. They were clutch. They were great in the clutch moments.
And they seem like a real mature team for the whole year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way they play basketball. They don't fluctuate during the course of the regular season.
Well, and I think,
you know,
that,
it doesn't matter whether it's playoffs or not. That's just the way they play the game.
That's a reflection of their coach, but also a reflection of their best player. Because that's how Nikola Jokic is. He is not an up-and-down guy. He is a completely reliable, consistent, humble star who, you know, he didn't become a star without hard work, right? He was kind of this average player, and all of a sudden he's played his way into being the best player in the world. So every day his work ethic is like that, and he brings that chip on the shoulder.
Yeah, and that's kind of what Jimmy Butler is. I mean, he's that hard-working guy. But when others around him don't give you that, you know, don't give you that what Jimmy Butler has to do. And Jimmy Butler has to really work hard. I mean, he's worked hard to be where he is, you know, and how he's got there. But if others around him that at times play well decided, oh, this is my day off,
yep,
look out.
Yep.
That's a problem.
No question about it. And but again, I think the Celtics are the better team, which is that they may have a chance. I mean, this is an 8 seed here. There's a reason the Heat are the 8 seed. They're not as talented.
You're right.
Player to player as Boston. I mean, Boston's got 2 top 10 players in their starting 5 with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Their bench is arguably more talented, and so they're back in this thing, and we'll see if they can get there. It also, the flip side of that is the ones who do bring it every time, that's where your awe is, right? When you see a Tiger Woods in his prime, who it's just every time, Tiger Woods locked in.
Hates to lose.
I mean, I'm not saying Tiger never had a bad day, but for the most part in championship competitions, Brooks Koepka. I mean, Brooks Koepka, when he's in it with the best, this dude delivers. This dude shows up,
and there's no excuses about weather or whatever it is. If he's healthy, if it's not a physical thing, and he's as healthy as you are,
yeah,
look out.
Yeah, and boy, I know he won the PGA Championship on Sunday, but his 66 round of 66 on Saturday in the rain was so damn impressive because everyone else was struggling and clubs are slipping out of the hand, and you're trying to putt.
Dude, like I said, that dude didn't even put a rain jacket on. He just said, okay, let me wear my shirt and let's go.
That dude was, you know, so you appreciate guys like that. Kobe, Jordan, obviously, the intensity and, you know, this is why LeBron is being criticized this week because, you know, Jordan would never be swept. I mean, that's not just not going to happen. Now, Jordan never played a playoff series when he was 39 years old, but either way, that's that. We appreciate it, but it also we realize because we've been through it ourselves, the mental side of the game is it's hard to predict. Again, sometimes you feel your most confident, and you play your worst, and that maybe that's a symptom for Texas that maybe they were too confident. They felt like, man, we got this thing figured out. Because I know when I have that mindset when I hit the golf course, it never goes well. It always turns into a. Not just a bad round, but like Michael Block kind of round.
Yeah, I mean, I hate the human nature part of it. I just think you got to play how you play all the time. But that element
that's
of
very hard to do.
That element of knowing that no matter what happens to you this weekend, guess what? You will still have other games. We'll still whether we host our regional or not. Guess what? We're going somewhere to continue playing.
Right. And I think fans and we would like to think it shouldn't take a back against the wall situation to find that intensity. But it is when you say it's a phrase, human nature, but it's a thing. It's played by humans, and that's a hard thing to get to do. And maybe
fight or flight.
Sometimes it's
when things start to go wrong for you. That's when it really gets bad.
And I'm talking about the golf example. And sometimes because fans will see it and think. They weren't locked in. They weren't focused. But sometimes it's because you're too confident. You feel like, hey, I got this thing figured out.
Yep.
And you get to the plate, and all of a sudden it doesn't go as well as it did against West Virginia. And as our late great friend Augie Garrido used to tell us all the time, the game will humble you really fast. The minute you get a little bit overconfident, get a little bit, man, I got this thing figured out, is the minute that it'll smack you right in the face.
Oh, I quit baseball because I got the yips.
Yeah.
I just, in eighth grade, one summer, I literally probably 10, 12 tournaments, got like two hits. And in the middle of the year, I was like, I'm done. I can't do this. And before that, I was a great hitter.
Well, I will
sometimes
admit personally that I haven't played nearly as much golf of late because I got hurt. And then I remember when I hurt my ankle, Buck, I had the tore a tendon in my ankle. And then I tried to come back too early, and I just was playing terrible golf, and I wasn't having fun playing. And then so I'm just now starting to get back into where
imagine how Tiger Woods feels.
Oh, yeah. Those guys are different animals.
I'm playing the worst golf of my life right now, and I just refuse to give in.
You need to be at the red tees. The forward tees, my friend.
No,
get to the forward tees.
No, I have a plan. I have a plan, and that plan is when I'm 70 years old, I'll do that. And I'm not deviating from that plan until I'm 70.
Will your friends still be like, Bucky, come on?
Oh, no, they do it every time. They do it every time. They said, are you enjoying playing? I'm like, yeah, I'm enjoying playing. I'm playing the worst golf. But I'm enjoying playing golf.
Well, that's good. That's all that matters.
Just to be able to go out in the outdoors and play golf and be around and play it, that's fine with me. I'm going to struggle, but it's the worst golf I've ever played. I mean, ever played.
I got to.
Even when I began to play the game.
Yeah, last summer I got to a point where it wasn't fun. I was like, because it was me. I was putting expectations that I'm going to not do that again and I'll go out and, you know, it wasn't getting better. So I just. And I had, you know, it's busy.
But you feel like every opportunity, it still was going to come out the same. For me, I think every opportunity for
you
me.
You know, you've accepted it.
Every opportunity, I'm going to, this is my day. This is the day that it happens. Oh. This is the day that it turns.
My friend, I go out just to have fun, you know, take my shoes off, drink some beer. Some of my friends think they're on the tour, and they'll go out, and after three holes that they're playing like crap, they'll literally just leave.
My hands up.
I won't quit.
That's how I, because I taught myself to play golf after, I didn't play a round of golf until I was 25. Years old and was doing the radio show with you.
Yep.
And I was doing commercials for Blackhawk Golf Club, and the pro there gave me some old clubs. That's the first time I had clubs. So I taught myself to play, and over the course of 20 years, I got pretty good at it. And then, but when it gets to where you're trying to, I don't know, there's a point where it loses its fun if you don't just enjoy it and play it for the game. That's what I'm trying to
get back into. Yeah, because I'm the same guy who will tell people on the golf course, hey, why don't you take up bowling? Like a group in front of me, they're playing lousy. I'm playing lousy too, but I'm trying to get them to go bowling today. It'd be a great day to take up bowling.
I'll give some lessons if anyone wants
the
a bowling
mental
lesson.
Side of sports. Coming back, Ty will lead us through some topics we've missed halfway through the Friday edition. It'll be hot or not. Also, do you see who's challenging Tyreek Hill to a run race and says he's dodging him? Oh, yeah. There's an NFL player that wants to race, foot race Tyreek Hill, and thinks he's getting dodged right now. We'll tell you that coming up next.
What's hot and what's not?
What's Hot, What's Not is brought to you by Texas Orthopedics, the largest independent orthopedic practice in Central Texas. Visit us at txortho.com to learn more and to schedule an appointment.
Yeah, all week long, all day long, every day, we talk about our sports heroes. And, of course, on Monday, we will honor the fallen, the real heroes out there that gave their lives in defense of this country, played the ultimate sacrifice. And we appreciate it every day, and certainly on this Monday, Memorial Day. Volunteer Army Buck, known as Decoration Day, of course, but those who have served, and certainly that's Veterans Day, but those who served and then paid that ultimate price, we, you know, for their families and for obviously the ones that have lost loved ones, that's what Memorial Day is
all
about.
Yeah, I'm a little off this year because I didn't, generally I go the highway, you know, up on 620 and right there in Lakeway, and there's a little cemetery with some veterans there, and I put a flag, and I haven't got my flag yet, so got to find one of those small little flags, and I know they're everywhere, so try to get that done on Monday.
Sure. Fly the flag proudly this weekend for sure, and while you're enjoying the lake or the fun that you're going to be having on Monday, make sure you remember.
There's veteran cemeteries all over. If you're looking for some place to, I mean, they're all over place. You'll find a veteran's tombstone somewhere.
And, you know, all of us know someone who or was touched by somebody that served and didn't make it back, and we appreciate them. This Friday and every day. Hey, so hot or not, Buck, we're going to have Ty with some topics we've missed, but how about this? DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf, Ty, wants to race Tyreek Hill, foot race. And you know,
how far do they want to go? Because DK Metcalf will take too long to get to Tyreek, will be gone.
The Seattle Seahawks receiver apparently has been, he told Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp this week on an interview that for 2 years he's had his people reaching out to Tyreek Hill's people trying to set something up, but they haven't been able to come up with an agreement. Who would win what do you want to go, 100 meters?
60.
60. Not 40.
No.
60?
And that's just in order to give the big guy a chance, because if you just went 40, he wouldn't catch him. He'd still be behind. 60, maybe. 60 to 100. 100 really got a chance. 40, he's got no chance. Tyreek is out and gone. In 40 yards, you're not catching him.
Well, I just who would win, Ty? Tyreek or DK?
Like how far are you going?
Like Bucky said, how long is it? Because I think DK's faster over 100 yards for sure.
Yeah, I think you catch.
That's probably why DK says cryptically, we haven't been able to come to an agreement.
Right.
Do we want to go
40? They're both real fast.
Yes. They're both going to catch us eventually.
Well, yes, and no one catches the freak, the cheetah. I'm still bugged, bummed, but the NFL schedule makers, you know, why didn't they make the Miami game in Kansas City the first game of the year? Wouldn't that have been a better pick than Detroit? I don't want to bag on Detroit and the Lions, but
bag on them. They're not winning the division.
I mean, the Tyreek Hill return to Arrowhead Stadium will be in Germany. Like, what are we doing?
I know.
That should be the Miami game on a Thursday night to start the season. Tyreek the Freak, the Cheetah, back in Arrowhead where he had so much success. Come on, man. Ty, what do you have for us on Hot or Not?
I don't really have a story. But piggyback off the conversation we were having earlier about would you rather, you know, get swept or lose on a buzzer beater in Game 7, what is one play or player that has, you know, stayed in your mind through your entire life that you might think about on a daily basis, sports-wise, that disappointed you?
Disappointed me?
You know, it might just
let
pop
you
in your
down.
Head. Everyone, I mean, we talk about sports every day. We
sure.
talk about our favorite teams. Just one player or play that just sticks in your mind that's been there. It could have happened 5 years ago. It could have happened 40 years ago.
All right, we'll take that.
Interesting.
That's good. I don't think I have one I think about daily. But Bud Adams stealing the Oilers out of Houston.
That's definitely yours.
Bud Adams for sure. Or you know, Will Harris, who gave up the home run to the Nationals, but you know, for the Astros, lost world the 2019.
Mine would be the other way around. The guy would stick in my head would be Derek Jeter. It'd be Jeter.
Michael Crabtree for me.
Or for Buck over there, people who ripped your guts out. Aaron freaking Boone, now your manager.
Yeah, really?
Come on, Yankees. Hey, we'll come back. We'll pick that up. Good one from Ty. Who is that athlete for you? Who might it be? Also, well, Bud Adams, not an athlete. Sports person. Also, best sports bloopers all time in the anniversary of Jose Canseco's home run off the head 30 years ago.